sitting at different desks. The desks were in a half circle facing the chalkboard, so I chose the desk in the middle toward the back, which I thought would make it harder for anyone to stare at me. I still kept my head way down, just looking up enough from under my bangs to see everyone's feet. As the desk started to fill up, I did notice that no one sat down next to me. A couple of times someone was about to sit next to me, and changed his or her mind at the last minute and sat somewhere else. "Hey, August." It was Charlotte, giving me her little wave as she sat down at a desk in the front of the class. Why anyone would ever choose to sit way up front in a class, I don't know. "Hey," I said, nodding hello. Then I noticed Julian was sitting a few seats away from her, talking to some other kids. I know he saw me, but he didn't say hello. Suddenly, someone was sitting down next to me. It was Jack Will. "Jack." "What's up?" he said, nodding at me. "Hey, Jack," I answered, waving my hand, which I immediately wished I hadn't done because it felt kind of uncool. "Okay, kids, okay, everybody, settle down," said the teacher, now facing us. She had written her name, Ms. Potosa, on the chalkboard. "Everybody find a seat, please. Come in," she said to a couple of kids who had just walked in the room. "There's a seat there and right there." She hadn't noticed me yet. "Now, the first thing I want everybody to do is stop talking and..." She noticed me. "Put your backpacks down and quiet down." She had only hesitated for a millionth of a second, but I could tell the moment she saw me. Like I said, I'm used to it by now. "I'm going to take attendance and do the seating chart," she continued, sitting on the edge of her desk. Next to her were three neat rows of accordion folders. "When I call your name, come up, and I'll hand you a folder with your name on it. It contains your class schedule and your combination lock, which you should not try to open until I tell you to. Your locker number is written on the class schedule. Be forewarned that some lockers are not right outside this class, but down the hall. And before anyone even thinks of asking, no, you cannot switch lockers and you can't switch locks. Then if there's time at the end of this period, we're all going to get to know each other a little better, okay?" "Okay." She picked up the clipboard on her desk and started reading the names out loud. "Okay, so Julian Albans," she said, looking up. Julian raised his hand and said, "Here," at the same time. "Hi, Julian," she said, making a note on her seating chart. She picked up the very first folder and held it out toward him. "Come pick it up," she said, kind of no-nonsense. He got up and took it from her. Ximena Chin. She handed a folder to each kid as she read off the names. As she went down the list, I noticed that the seat next to me was the only one still empty, even though there were two kids sitting at one desk just a few seats away. When she called the name of one of them, a big kid named Henry Joplin, who already looked like a teenager, she said, "Henry, there's an empty desk right over there. Why don't you take that seat, okay?" She handed him his folder and pointed to the desk next to mine. Although I didn't look at him directly, I could tell Henry did not want to move next to me, just by the way he dragged his backpack on the floor as he came over, like he was moving in slow motion. Then he plopped his backpack up really high on the right side of the desk, so it was kind of like a wall between his desk and mine. "Maya Markowitz," Ms. Potosa was saying. "Here," said a girl about four desks down from me. "Miles Nouri." "Here," said the kid that had been sitting with Henry Joplin. As he walked back to his desk, I saw him shoot Henry a "poor you" look. "August Pullman," said Ms. Potosa. "Here," I said quietly, raising my hand a bit. "Hi, August," she said, smiling at me very nicely when I went up to get my folder. I kind of felt everyone's eyes burning into my back for the few seconds I stood in the front of the class, and everybody looked down when I walked back to my desk. I resisted spinning the combination when I sat down, even though everyone else was doing it, because she had specifically told us not to. I was already pretty good at opening locks anyway, because I've used them on my bike. Henry kept trying to open his lock but couldn't do it. He was getting frustrated and kind of cursing under his breath. Ms. Petosa called out the next few names. The last name was Jack Well. After she handed Jack his folder, she said, "Okay, so everybody write your combinations down somewhere safe that you won't forget, okay? But if you do forget, which happens at least 3.2 times per semester, Mrs. Garcia has a list of all the combination numbers. Now go ahead, take your locks out of your folders and spend a couple of minutes practicing how to open them, though I know some of you went ahead and did that anyway." She was looking at Henry when she said that. "And in the meanwhile, I'll tell you guys a little something about myself. And then you guys can tell me a little about yourselves, and we'll, get to know each other. Sound good?" "Good." She smiled at everyone, though I felt like she was smiling at me the most. It wasn't a shiny smile like Mrs. Garcia's smile, but a normal smile, like she meant it. She looked very different from what I thought teachers were going to look like. I guess I thought she'd look like Miss Fowl from Jimmy Neutron, an old lady with a big bun on top of her head. But in fact, she looked exactly like Mon Mothma from Star Wars Episode 4, haircut kind of like a boy's, and a big white shirt kind of like a tunic. She turned around and started writing on the chalkboard. Henry still couldn't get his lock to open, and he was getting more and more frustrated every time someone else popped one open. He got really annoyed when I was able to open mine on the first try. The funny thing is, if he hadn't put the backpack between us, I most definitely would have offered to help him. Around the room. Ms. Petosa told us a little about who she was. It was boring stuff about where she originally came from and how she always wanted to teach, and she left her job on Wall Street about 6 years ago to pursue her dream and teach kids. She ended by asking if anyone had any questions, and Julian raised his hand. "Yes?" She had to look at the list to remember his name. "Julian?" "That's cool about how you're pursuing your dream," he said. "Thank you." "You're welcome." He smiled proudly. "Okay, so why don't you tell us a little about yourself, Julian? Actually, here's what I want everyone to do. Think of two things you want other people to know about you. Actually, wait a minute. How many of you came from the Beecher Lower School?" About half the kids raised their hands. "Okay, so a few of you already know each other, but the rest of you, I guess, are new to the school, right? Okay, so everyone think of two things you want other people to know about you. And if you know some of the other kids, try to think of things they don't already know about you, okay?" "Okay, so let's start with Julian, and we'll go around the room." Julian scrunched up his face and started tapping his forehead like he was thinking really hard. "Okay, whenever you're ready," Ms. Petosa said. "Okay, so number one is that..." "Do me a favor and start with your names, okay?" Ms. Petosa interrupted. "It'll help me remember everyone." "Oh, okay. So my name is Julian, and the number one thing I'd like to tell everyone about myself is that I just got Battleground Mystic for my Wii, and it's totally awesome. And the number two thing is that we got a ping pong table this summer." "Very nice. I love ping pong," said Ms. Petosa. "Does anyone have any questions for Julian?" "Is Battleground Mystic multiplayer or one player?" said the kid named Miles. "Not those kind of questions, guys," said Ms. Petosa. "Okay, so how about you?" She pointed to Charlotte, probably because her desk was closest to the front. "Oh, sure," Charlotte didn't hesitate for even a second. like she knew exactly what she wanted to say. "My name is Charlotte. I have two sisters, and we just got a new puppy named Suki in July. We got her from an animal shelter, and she's so, so cute." "That's great, Charlotte. Thank you," said Miss Petosa. "Okay, then, who's next?" Lamb to the slaughter. Like a lamb to the slaughter, something that you say about someone who goes somewhere calmly, not knowing that something unpleasant is going to happen to them. I Googled it last night. That's what I was thinking when Ms. Petosa called my name, and suddenly it was my turn to talk. "My name is August," I said. And yeah, I kind of mumbled it. "What?" said someone. "Can you speak up, honey?" said Miss Petosa. "My name is August," I said louder, forcing myself to look up. I have a sister named Via and a dog named Daisy. And that's it." "Wonderful," said Miss Petosa. "Anyone have questions for August?" No one said anything. "Okay, you're next," said Miss Petosa to Jack. "Wait, I have a question for August," said Julian, raising his hand. "Why do you have that tiny braid in the back of your hair? Is that like a Padawan thing?"
"Yeah," I shrugged, nodded.
"What's a Padawan thing?" said Miss Petosa, smiling at me.
"It's from Star Wars," answered Julian. "A Padawan is a Jedi apprentice."
"Oh, interesting," answered Ms. Petosa, looking at me.
"So are you into Star Wars, August?"
"I guess," I nodded, not looking up because what I really wanted was to just slide under the desk.
"Who's your favorite character?" Julian asked. I started thinking maybe he wasn't so bad.
"Jango Fett?"
"What about Darth Sidious?" he said. "Do you like him?"
"Okay, guys, you can talk about Star Wars stuff at recess," said Miss Petosa cheerfully. "But let's keep going. We haven't heard from you yet," she said to Jack. Now it was Jack's turn to talk, but I admit I didn't hear a word he said. Maybe no one got the Darth Sidious thing. Maybe Julian didn't mean anything at all. But in Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, Darth Sidious's face gets burned by Sith lightning and becomes totally deformed. His skin gets all shriveled up and his whole face just kind of melts. I peeked at Julian and he was looking at me. Yeah, he knew what he was saying.
Choose kind. There was a lot of shuffling around when the bell rang and everybody got up to leave. I checked my schedule and it said my next class was English, room 321. I didn't stop to see if anyone else from my homeroom was going my way. I just zoomed out of the class and down the hall and sat down as far from the front as possible. The teacher, a really tall man with a yellow beard, was writing on the chalkboard. Kids came in laughing and talking in little groups, but I didn't look up. Basically, the same thing that happened in homeroom happened again. No one sat next to me, except for Jack, who was joking around with some kids who weren't in our homeroom. I could tell Jack was the kind of kid other kids like. He had a lot of friends. He made people laugh. When the second bell rang, everyone got quiet, and the teacher turned around and faced us. He said his name was Mr. Brown, and then he started talking about what we would be doing this semester. At a certain point, somewhere between A Wrinkle in Time and Shen of the Sea, he noticed me, but kept right on talking. I was mostly doodling in my notebook while he talked, but every once in a while, I would sneak a look at the other students. Charlotte was in this class. So were Julian and Henry. Miles wasn't. Mr. Brown had written on the chalkboard in big block letters, P-R-E-C-E-P-T. Okay, everybody, write this down at the very top of the very first page in your English notebook. As we did what he told us to do, he said, okay, so who can tell me what a precept is? Does anyone know? No one raised their hands. Mr. Brown smiled, nodded, and turned around to write on the chalkboard again. Precepts equal rules about really important things. Like a motto, someone called out. Like a motto, said Mr. Brown, nodding as he continued writing on the board. Like a famous quote, like a line from a fortune cookie. Any saying or ground rule that can motivate you. Basically, a precept is anything that helps guide us when making decisions about really important things. He wrote all that on the chalkboard and then turned around and faced us. So, what are some really important things? He asked us. A few kids raised their hands, and as he pointed at them, they gave their answers, which he wrote on the chalkboard in really, really sloppy handwriting. Rules, schoolwork, homework. What else? He said as he wrote, not even turning around. Just call things out. He wrote everything everyone called out. Family, parents, pets. One girl called out, the environment. The environment. He wrote on the chalkboard and added, our world. Sharks, because they eat dead things in the ocean, said one of the boys, a kid named Reed. And Mr. Brown wrote down, sharks. Bees, seatbelts, recycling, friends. Okay, said Mr. Brown, writing all those things down. He turned around when he finished writing to face us again. But no one's named the most important thing of all. We all looked at him, out of ideas. God, said one kid, and I could tell that even though Mr. Brown wrote God down, that wasn't the answer he was looking for. Without saying anything else, he wrote down, who we are. Who we are, he said, underlining each word as he said it. Who we are, us, right? What kind of people are we? What kind of person are you? Isn't that the most important thing of all? Isn't that the kind of question we should be asking ourselves all the time? What kind of person am I? Did anyone happen to notice the plaque next to the door of this school? Anyone read what it says? Anyone? He looked around, but no one knew the answer. It says, know thyself, he said, smiling and nodding. And learning who you are is what you're here to do. I thought we were here to learn English, Jack cracked, which made everyone laugh. Oh, yeah, and that too, Mr. Brown answered, which I thought was very cool of him. He turned around and wrote in big, huge block letters that spread all the way across the chalkboard. Mr. Brown's September precept? When given the choice between being right or being kind, choose kind. Okay, so everybody, he said, facing us again. I want you to start a brand new section in your notebooks and call it Mr. Brown's Precepts. He kept talking as we did what he was telling us to do. Put today's date at the top of the first page, and from now on, at the beginning of every month, I'm going to write a new Mr. Brown precept on the chalkboard. You're going to write it down in your notebook. Then we're going to discuss that precept and what it means. And at the end of the month, you're going to write an essay about it, about what it means to you. So by the end of the year, you'll all have your own list of precepts to take away with you. Over the summer, I ask all my students to come up with their very own personal precept, write it on a postcard, and mail it to me from wherever you go on your summer vacation. People really do that? Said one girl, whose name I didn't know. Oh, yeah, he answered. People really do that. I've had students send me new precepts years after they've graduated from this school, actually. It's pretty amazing. He paused and stroked his beard. But anyway, next summer seems like a long way off, I know, he joked, which made us laugh. So everybody relax a bit while I take attendance. And then when we're finished with that, I'll start telling you about all the fun stuff we're going to be doing this year. In English. He pointed to Jack when he said this, which was also funny, so we all laughed at that. As I wrote down Mr. Brown's September precept, I suddenly realized that I was going to like school, no matter what. Lunch. Via had warned me about lunch in middle school, so I guess I should have known it would be hard. I just hadn't expected it to be this hard. Basically, all the kids from all the fifth grade classes poured into the cafeteria at the same time, talking loudly and bumping into one another while they ran to different tables. One of the lunchroom teachers said something about no seat saving allowed. I didn't know what she meant, and maybe no one else did either, because just about everybody was saving seats for their friends. I tried to sit down at one table, but the kid in the next chair said, "Oh, sorry, but somebody else is sitting here." So I moved to an empty table and just waited for everyone to finish stampeding and the lunchroom teacher to tell us what to do next. As she started telling us the cafeteria rules, I looked around to see where Jack Will was sitting, but I didn't see him on my side of the room. Kids were still coming in as the teacher started calling the first few tables to get their trays and stand on line at the counter. Julian, Henry, and Miles were sitting at a table toward the back of the room. Mom had packed me a cheese sandwich, graham crackers, and a juice box, so I didn't need to stand on line when my table was called. Instead, I just concentrated on opening my backpack, pulling out my lunch bag, and slowly opening the aluminum foil wrapping of my sandwich. I could tell I was being stared at without even looking up. I knew that people were nudging each other, watching me out of the corners of their eyes. I thought I was used to those kinds of stares by now, but I guess I wasn't. There was one table of girls that I knew were whispering about me, because they were talking behind their hands. Their eyes and whispers kept bouncing over to me. I hate the way I eat. I know how weird it looks. I had a surgery to fix my cleft palate when I was a baby, and then a second cleft surgery when I was 4, but I still have a hole in the roof of my mouth. And even though I had jaw alignment surgery a few years ago, I have to chew food in the front of my mouth. I didn't even realize how this looked until I was at a birthday party once. One of the kids told the mom of the birthday boy he didn't want to sit next to me because I was too messy with all the food crumbs shooting out of my mouth. I know the kid wasn't trying to be mean, but he got in big trouble later, and his mom called my mom that night to apologize. When I got home from the party, I went to the bathroom mirror and started eating a saltine cracker to see what I looked like when I was chewing. The kid was right. I eat like a tortoise, if you've ever seen a tortoise eating. Like some prehistoric swamp thing. The summer table. Hey, is the seat taken? I looked up, and a girl I never saw before was standing across from my table with a lunch tray full of food. She had long, wavy brown hair and wore a brown t-shirt with a purple peace sign on it. No, I said. She put her lunch tray on the table, plopped her backpack on the floor, and sat down across from me. She started to eat the mac and cheese on her plate. Ugh, she said after swallowing the first bite. I should have brought a sandwich like you did. Yeah, I said, nodding. My name is Summer, by the way. What's yours? August. Cool, she said. Summer, another girl came over to the table carrying a tray. Why are you sitting here? Come back to the table. It was too crowded, Summer answered her. Come sit here. There's more room. The other girl looked confused for a second. I realized she had been one of the girls I had caught looking at me just a few minutes earlier, hand cupped over her mouth, whispering. I guess Summer had been one of the girls at that table, too. Never mind, said the girl, leaving. Summer looked at me, shrugged, smiled, and took another bite of her mac and cheese. Hey, our names kind of match, she said as she chewed. I guess she could tell I didn't know what she meant. Summer, August, she said, smiling, her eyes wide open as she waited for me to get it. Oh, yeah, I said after a second. We can make this the summer-only lunch table, she said. Only kids with summer names can sit here. Let's see, is there anyone here named June or July? There's a Maya, I said. Technically, May is spring, Summer answered. But if she wanted to sit here, we could make an exception. She said it as if she'd actually thought the whole thing through. There's Julian. That's like the name Julia, which comes from July. I didn't say anything. There's a kid named Reed in my English class, I said. Yeah, I know Reed, but how is Reed a summer name, she asked. I don't know, I shrugged. I just picture, like, a reed of grass being a summer thing. Yeah, okay, she nodded, pulling out her notebook. And Miss Petosa could sit here, too. That kind of sounds like the word petal, which I think of as a summer thing, too. I have her for homeroom, I said. I have her for math, she answered, making a face. She started writing the list of names on the second-to-last page of her notebook. So, who else? She said. By the end of lunch, we had come up with a whole list of names of kids and teachers who could sit at our table if they wanted. Most of the names weren't actually summer names, but they were names that had some kind of connection to summer. I even found a way of making Jack Will's name work by pointing out that you could turn his name into a sentence about summer, like, Jack will go to the beach, which Summer agreed worked fine. But if someone doesn't have a summer name and wants to sit with us, she said very seriously, we'll still let them if they're nice, okay? Okay, I nodded, even if it's a winter name. Cool beans, she answered, giving me a thumbs up. Summer looked like her name. She had a tan, and her eyes were green like a leaf. 1 to 10. Mom always had this habit of asking me how something felt on a scale of 1 to 10. It started after I had my jaw surgery, when I couldn't talk because my mouth was wired shut. They had taken a piece of bone from my hip bone to insert into my chin to make it look more normal. So I was hurting in a lot of different places. Mom would point to one of my bandages, and I would hold up my fingers to show her how much it was hurting. 1 meant a little bit. 10 meant so, so, so much. Then she would tell the doctor when he made his rounds what needed adjusting or things like that. Mom got very good at reading my mind sometimes. After that, we got into the habit of doing the 1 to 10 scale for anything that hurt. Like if I just had a plain old sore throat, she'd ask, 1 to 10, and I'd say, 3, or whatever it was. When school was over, I went outside to meet Mom, who was waiting for me at the front entrance like all the other parents or babysitters. The first thing she said after hugging me was, so, how was it? 1 to 10. 5, I said, shrugging, which I could tell totally surprised her. Wow, she said quietly. That's even better than I hoped for. Are we picking Via up? Miranda's mother is picking her up today. Do you want me to carry your backpack, sweetness? We had started walking through the crowd of kids and parents, most of whom were noticing me, secretly pointing me out to each other. I'm fine, I said. It looks too heavy, Augie. She started to take it from me. Mom, I said, pulling my backpack away from her. I walked in front of her through the crowd. See you tomorrow, August. It was Summer. She was walking in the opposite direction. Bye, Summer, I said, waving at her. As soon as we crossed the street and were away from the crowd, Mom said, who was that, Augie? Summer, is she in your class? I have lots of classes. she in any of your classes? Mom said. Nope. Mom waited for me to say something else, but I just didn't feel like talking. So it went okay, said Mom. I could tell she had a million questions she wanted to ask me. Everyone was nice. Did you like your teachers? Yeah. How about those kids you met last week? Were they nice? Fine, fine. Jack hung out with me a lot. That's so great, sweetie. What about that boy Julian? I thought about that Darth Sidious comment. By now it felt like that had happened 100 years ago. He was okay, I said. And the blonde girl, what was her name? Charlotte, Mom. I said everyone was nice already. Okay, Mom answered. I honestly don't know why I was kind of mad at Mom, but I was. We crossed Amesford Avenue, and she didn't say anything else until we turned onto our block. So, Mom said, how did you meet Summer if she wasn't in any of your classes? We sat together at lunch, I said. I had started kicking a rock between my feet like it was a soccer ball, chasing it back and forth across the sidewalk. She seems very nice. Yeah, she is. She's very pretty, Mom said. Yeah, I know, I answered. We're kind of like Beauty and the Beast. I didn't wait to see Mom's reaction. I just started running down the sidewalk after the rock, which I had kicked as hard as I could in front of me. Padawan. That night, I cut off the little braid on the back of my head. Dad noticed first. Oh, good, he said. I never liked that thing. Via couldn't believe I had cut it off. That took you years to grow, she said, almost like she was angry. Why did you cut it off? I don't know, I answered. Did someone make fun of it? No. Did you tell Christopher you were cutting it off? We're not even friends anymore. That's not true, she said. I can't believe you would just cut it off like that, she added snottily, and then practically slammed my bedroom door shut as she left the room. I was snuggling with Daisy on my bed when Dad came to tuck me in later. He scooched Daisy over gently and laid down next to me on the blanket. So, Augie doggy, he said. It was really an okay day. He got that from an old cartoon about a dachshund named Augie Doggy, by the way. He had bought it for me on eBay when I was about 4, and we watched it a lot for a while, especially in the hospital. He would call me Augie Doggy, and I would call him Dear Old Dad, like the puppy called the dachshund dad on the show. Yeah, it was totally okay, I said, nodding. You've been so quiet all night long. I guess I'm tired. It was a long day, huh? I nodded. But it really was okay? I nodded again. He didn't say anything, so after a few seconds I said, it was better than okay, actually. That's great to hear, Augie, he said quietly, kissing my forehead. So it looks like it was a good call Mom made you're going to school. Yeah, but I could stop going if I wanted to, right? That was the deal, yes, he answered. Though I guess it would depend on why you wanted to stop going too, you know. You'd have to let us know. You'd have to talk to us and tell us how you're feeling and if anything bad was happening, okay? You promise you'd tell us? Yeah. So, can I ask you something? Are you mad at Mom or something? You've been kind of huffy with her all night long. You know, Augie, I'm as much to blame for sending you to school as she is. No, she's more to blame. It was her idea. Mom knocked on the door just then and peeked her head inside my room. Just wanted to say goodnight, she said. She looked kind of shy for a second. Hi, Mama, Dad said, picking up my hand and waving it at her. I heard you cut off your braid, Mom said to me. sitting down at the edge of the bed next to Daisy. "It's not a big deal," I answered quickly.
"I didn't say it was," said Mom.
"Why don't you put Augie to bed tonight?" Dad said to Mom, getting up. "I've got some work to do anyway. Good night, my son, my son." That was another part of our Augie doggy routine. Though I wasn't in the mood to say, "Good night, dear old Dad." "I'm so proud of you," said Dad. And then he got up out of the bed. Mom and Dad had always taken turns putting me to bed. I know it was a little babyish of me to still need them to do that, but that's just how it was with us. "Will you check in on Via?" Mom said to Dad as she lay down next to me. He stopped by the door and turned around. "What's wrong with Via?"
"Nothing," said Mom, shrugging.
At least that she would tell me, but first day of high school and all that.
"Hmm," said Dad, and then he pointed his finger at me and winked.
"It's always something with you kids, isn't it?" he said.
"Never a dull moment," said Mom.
"Never a dull moment," Dad repeated. "Good night, guys." As soon as he closed the door, Mom pulled out the book she'd been reading to me for the last couple of weeks. I was relieved because I really was afraid she'd want to talk, and I just didn't feel like doing that. But Mom didn't seem to want to talk either. She just flipped through the pages until she got to where we had left off. We were about halfway through The Hobbit.
"Stop! Stop!" shouted Thorin, said Mom, reading aloud. But it was too late. The excited dwarves had wasted their last arrows, and now the bows that Bjorn had given them were useless. They were a gloomy party that night, and the gloom gathered still deeper on them in the following days. They had crossed the enchanted stream, but beyond it, the path seemed to straggle on just as before, and in the forest, they could see no change.
I'm not sure why, but all of a sudden, I started to cry. Mom put down the book and wrapped her arms around me. She didn't seem surprised that I was crying.
"It's okay," she whispered in my ear. "It'll be okay."
"I'm sorry," I said between sniffles.
"Shh," she said, wiping my tears with the back of her hand. "You have nothing to be sorry about."
"Why do I have to be so ugly, Mommy?" I whispered.
"No, baby, you're not."
"I know I am."
She kissed me all over my face. She kissed my eyes that came down too far. She kissed my cheeks that looked punched in. She kissed my tortoise mouth. She said soft words that I know are meant to help me, but words can't change my face.
Wake me up when September ends. The rest of September was hard. I wasn't used to getting up so early in the morning. I wasn't used to this whole notion of homework. And I got my first quiz at the end of the month. I never got quizzes when Mom homeschooled me. I also didn't like how I had no free time anymore. Before, I was able to play whenever I wanted to. But now, it felt like I always had stuff to do for school. And being at school was awful in the beginning. Every new class I had was like a new chance for kids to not stare at me. They would sneak peeks at me from behind their notebooks or when they thought I wasn't looking. They would take the longest way around me to avoid bumping into me in any way, like I had some germ they could catch, like my face was contagious. In the hallways, which were always crowded, my face would always surprise some unsuspecting kid who maybe hadn't heard about me. The kid would make the sound you make when you hold your breath before going underwater, a little "huh" sound. This happened maybe 4 or 5 times a day for the first few weeks, on the stairs, in front of the lockers, in the library. 500 kids in a school. Eventually, every one of them was going to see my face at some time. And I knew after the first couple of days that word had gotten around about me, because every once in a while, I'd catch a kid elbowing his friend as they passed me, or talking behind their hands as I walked by them. I can only imagine what they were saying about me. Actually, I prefer not to even try to imagine it. I'm not saying they were doing any of these things in a mean way, by the way. Not once did any kid laugh or make noises or do anything like that. They were just being normal, dumb kids. I know that. I kind of wanted to tell them that. Like, it's okay. I know I'm weird looking. Take a look. I don't bite. Hey, the truth is, if a Wookiee started going to the school all of a sudden, I'd be curious. I'd probably stare a bit. And if I was walking with Jack or Summer, I'd probably whisper to them, hey, there's the Wookiee. And if the Wookiee caught me saying that, he'd know I wasn't trying to be mean. I was just pointing out the fact that he's a Wookiee. It took about 1 week for the kids in my class to get used to my face. These were the kids I'd see every day in all my classes. It took about 2 weeks for the rest of the kids in my grade to get used to my face. These were the kids I'd see in the cafeteria, yard time, PE, music, library, computer class. It took about a month for the rest of the kids in the entire school to get used to it. These were the kids in all the other grades. They were big kids, some of them. Some of them had crazy haircuts. Some of them had earrings in their noses. Some of them had pimples. None of them looked like me. Jack Will. I hung out with Jack in homeroom, English, history, computer, music, and science, which were all the classes we had together. The teachers assigned seats in every class, and I ended up sitting next to Jack in every single class. So I figured either the teachers were told to put me and Jack together, or it was a totally incredible coincidence. I walked to classes with Jack, too. I know he noticed kids staring at me, but he pretended not to notice. One time, though, on our way to history, this huge eighth grader who was zooming down the stairs two steps at a time accidentally bumped into us at the bottom of the stairs and knocked me down. As the guy helped me stand up, he got a look at my face, and without even meaning to, he just said, "Whoa!" Then he patted me on the shoulder, like he was dusting me off, and took off after his friends. For some reason, me and Jack started cracking up. "That guy made the funniest face," said Jack as we sat at our desks. "I know, right?" I said. "He was like, whoa. I swear I think he wet his pants." We were laughing so hard that the teacher, Mr. Roche, had to ask us to settle down. Later, after we finished reading about how ancient Sumerians built sundials, Jack whispered, "Do you ever want to beat those kids up?" I shrugged. "I guess. I don't know." "I'd want to. I think you should get a secret squirt gun or something and attach it to your eyes somehow. And every time someone stares at you, you would squirt them in the face. With some green slime or something," I answered. "No, no. With slug juice mixed with dog pee." "Yeah," I said, completely agreeing. "Guys," said Mr. Roche from across the room, "people are still reading." We nodded and looked down at our books. Then Jack whispered, "Are you always going to look this way, August? I mean, can't you get plastic surgery or something?" I smiled and pointed to my face. "Hello, this is after plastic surgery." Jack clapped his hand over his forehead and started laughing hysterically. "Dude, you should sue your doctor," he answered between giggles. This time, the two of us were laughing so much, we couldn't stop, even after Mr. Roche came over and made us both switch chairs with the kids next to us. Mr. Brown's October Precept. Mr. Brown's precept for October was, "Your deeds are your monuments." He told us that this was written on the tombstone of some Egyptian guy that died thousands of years ago. Since we were just about to start studying ancient Egypt and history, Mr. Brown thought this was a good choice for a precept. Our homework assignment was to write a paragraph about what we thought the precept meant or how we felt about it. This is what I wrote. This precept means that we should be remembered for the things we do. The things we do are the most important things of all. They are more important than what we say or what we look like. The things we do outlast our mortality. The things we do are like monuments that people build to honor heroes after they've died. They're like the pyramids that the Egyptians built to honor the pharaohs. Only instead of being made out of stone, they're made out of the memories people have of you. That's why your deeds are like your monuments, built with memories instead of with stone. Apples. My birthday is October 10th. I like my birthday, 10-10. It would have been great if I'd been born at exactly 10-10 in the morning or at night, but I wasn't. I was born just after midnight, but I still think my birthday is cool. I usually have a little party at home, but this year I asked Mom if I could have a big bowling party. Mom was surprised but happy. She asked me who I wanted to ask for my class, and I said everyone in my homeroom plus Summer. That's a lot of kids, Augie, said Mom. I have to invite everyone because I don't want anyone to get their feelings hurt if they find out other people are invited and they aren't, okay? Okay, Mom agreed. You even want to invite the what's the deal kid? Yeah, you can invite Julian, I answered. Geez, Mom, you should forget about that already. I know, you're right. A couple of weeks later, I asked Mom who was coming to my party, and she said, Jack, Will, Summer, Reed Kingsley, both Maxes, and a couple of other kids said they were going to try to be there. Like who? Charlotte's mom said Charlotte had a dance recital earlier in the day, but she was going to try to come to your party if time allowed. And Tristan's mom said he might come after a soccer game. So that's it? I said. That's like 5 people. That's more than 5 people, Augie. I think a lot of people just had plans already, Mom answered. We were in the kitchen. She was cutting one of the apples we had just gotten at the farmer's market into teensy-weensy bites so I could eat it. What kind of plans? I asked. I don't know, Augie. We sent out the Evites kind of late. Like, what did they tell you, though? What reasons did they give? Everyone gave different reasons, Augie. She sounded a bit impatient. Really, sweetie, it shouldn't matter what their reasons were. People had plans, that's all. What did Julian give as his reason, I asked. You know, said Mom, his mom was the only person who didn't RSVP at all. She looked at me. I guess the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I laughed because I thought she was making a joke, but then I realized she wasn't. What does that mean? I asked. Never mind. Now go wash your hands so you can eat. My birthday party turned out to be much smaller than I thought it would be. But it was still great. Jack, Summer, Reed, Tristan, and both Maxes came from school. And Christopher came too, all the way from Bridgeport with his parents. And Uncle Ben came. And Aunt Kate and Uncle Poe drove in from Boston, though Tata and Papa were in Florida for the winter. It was fun because all the grown-ups ended up bowling in the lane next to ours. So it really felt like there were a lot of people there to celebrate my birthday. Halloween. At lunch the next day, Summer asked me what I was going to be for Halloween. Of course, I'd been thinking about it since last Halloween, so I knew right away. Boba Fett. You know you can wear a costume to school on Halloween, right? No way. Really? So long as it's politically correct. What, like no guns and stuff? Exactly. What about blasters? I think a blaster's like a gun, Augie. Oh, man, I said, shaking my head. Boba Fett has a blaster. At least we don't have to come like a character in a book anymore. In the lower school, that's what you had to do. Last year, I was the Wicked Witch of the West from The Wizard of Oz. But that's a movie, not a book. Hello, Summer answered. It was a book first. One of my favorite books in the world, actually. My dad used to read it to me every night in the first grade. When Summer talks, especially when she's excited about something, her eyes squint, like she's looking right at the sun. I hardly ever see Summer during the day, since the only class we have together is English. But ever since that first lunch at school, we've sat at the summer table together every day, just the two of us. So, what are you going to be? I asked her. I don't know yet. I know what I'd really want to go as, but I think it might be too dorky. You know, Savannah's group isn't even wearing costumes this year. They think we're too old for Halloween. What? That's just dumb. I know, right? I thought you didn't care what those girls think. She shrugged and took a long drink of her milk. So, what dorky thing do you want to dress up as? I asked her, smiling. Promise not to laugh? She raised her eyebrows and her shoulders, embarrassed. A unicorn. I smiled and looked down at my sandwich. Hey, you promised not to laugh, she laughed. Okay, I said. But you're right, that is too dorky. I know, she said, but I have it all planned out. I'd make the head out of paper mache and paint the horn gold and make the mane gold, too. It would be so awesome. Okay, I shrugged. Then you should do it. Who cares what other people think, right? Maybe what I'll do is just wear it for the Halloween parade, she said, snapping her fingers. And I'll just be like a goth girl for school. Yeah, that's it. That's what I'll do. Sounds like a plan, I nodded. Thanks, Augie, she giggled. You know, that's what I like best about you. I feel like I can tell you anything. Yeah, I answered, nodding. I gave her a thumbs up sign. Cool beans. School pictures. I don't think anyone will be shocked to learn I don't want to have my school picture taken on October 22nd. No way. No thank you. I stopped letting anyone take pictures of me a while ago. I guess you could call it a phobia. No, actually, it's not a phobia. It's an aversion, which is a word I just learned in Mr. Brown's class. I have an aversion to having my picture taken. There, I used it in a sentence. I thought Mom would try to get me to drop my aversion to having my picture taken for school, but she didn't. Unfortunately, while I managed to avoid having the portrait taken, I couldn't get out of being part of the class picture. Ugh, the photographer looked like he just sucked on a lemon when he saw me. I'm sure he thought I ruined the picture. I was one of the ones in the front sitting down. I didn't smile. Not that anyone could tell if I had. The cheese touch. I noticed not too long ago that even though people were getting used to me, no one would actually touch me. I didn't realize this at first because it's not like kids go around touching each other that much in middle school anyway. But last Thursday in dance class, which is like my least favorite class, Mrs. Adanabi, the teacher, tried to make Ximena Chin be my dance partner. Now, I've never actually seen someone have a panic attack before, but I have heard about it, and I'm pretty sure Ximena had a panic attack at that second. She got really nervous and turned pale and literally broke into a sweat within a minute. And then she came up with some lame excuse about really having to go to the bathroom. Anyway, Mrs. Adanabi let her off the hook because she ended up not making anyone dance together. Then yesterday in my science elective, we were doing this cool mystery powder investigation where we had to classify a substance as an acid or a base. Everyone had to heat their mystery powders on a heating plate and make observations. So we were all huddled around the powders with our notebooks. Now there are 8 kids in the elective, and 7 of them were squished together on one side of the plate, while one of them, me, had loads of room on the other side. So of course I noticed this, but I was hoping Ms. Rubin wouldn't notice this, because I didn't want her to say something. But of course she did notice this, and of course she said something. Guys, there's plenty of room on that side. Tristan, Nino, go over there, she said. So Tristan and Nino scooted over to my side. Tristan and Nino have always been okay nice to me. I want to go on record as saying that. Not super nice, like they go out of their way to hang out with me, but okay nice, like they say hello to me and talk to me like normal. And they didn't even make a face when Ms. Rubin told them to come on my side, which a lot of kids do when they think I'm not looking. Anyway, everything was going fine until Tristan's mystery powder started melting. He moved his foil off the plate, just as my powder began to melt, too, which is why I went to move mine off the plate. And then my hand accidentally bumped his hand for a fraction of a second. Tristan jerked his hand away so fast, he dropped his foil on the floor, while also knocking everyone else's foil off the heating plate. Tristan, yelled Ms. Rubin. But Tristan didn't even care about the spilled powder on the floor, or that he ruined the experiment. What he was most concerned about was getting to the lab sink to wash his hands as fast as possible. That's when I knew for sure that there was this thing about touching me at Beecher Prep. I think it's like the cheese touch in Diary of a Wimpy Kid. The kids in that story were afraid they'd catch the cooties if they touched the old moldy cheese on the basketball court. At Beecher Prep, I'm the old moldy cheese. Costumes. For me, Halloween is the best holiday in the world. It even beats Christmas. I get to dress up in a costume. I get to wear a mask. I get to go around like every other kid with a mask, and nobody thinks I look weird. Nobody takes a second look. Nobody notices me. Nobody knows me. I wish every day could be Halloween. We could all wear masks all the time. Then we could walk around and get to know each other before we got to see what we look like under the masks. When I was little, I used to wear an astronaut helmet everywhere I went. To the playground, to the supermarket, to pick V up from school. Even in the middle of summer, though it was so hot my face would sweat. I think I wore it for a couple of years, but I had to stop wearing it when I had my eye surgery. I was about 7, I think, and then we couldn't find the helmet after that. Mom looked everywhere for it. She figured that it had probably ended up in Grand's attic, and she kept meaning to look for it. Then I had gotten used to not wearing it. I have pictures of me in all my Halloween costumes. My first Halloween, I was a pumpkin. My second, I was Tigger. My third, I was Peter Pan. My dad dressed up as Captain Hook. My fourth, I was Captain Hook. My dad dressed up as Peter Pan. My fifth, I was an astronaut. My sixth, I was Obi-Wan Kenobi. My seventh, I was a clone trooper. My eighth, I was Darth Vader. My ninth, I was the Bleeding Scream, the one that has fake blood oozing out over the skull mask. This year, I'm going to be Boba Fett. Not Boba Fett the kid in Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones, but Boba Fett the man from Star Wars Episode V, The Empire Strikes Back. Mom searched everywhere for the costume, but couldn't find one in my size. So she bought me a Jango Fett costume, since Jango was Boba's dad and wore the same armor, and then painted the armor green. She did some other stuff to make it look worn, too. Anyway, it looks totally real. Mom's good at costumes. In homeroom, we all talked about what we were going to be for Halloween. Charlotte was going as Hermione from Harry Potter. Jack was going as a wolfman. I heard that Julian was going as Jango Fett, which was a weird coincidence. I don't think he liked hearing that I was going as Boba Fett. On the morning of Halloween, Via had this big crying meltdown about something. Via's always been so calm and cool, but this year she's had a couple of these kind of fits. Dad was late for work and was like, Via, let's go, let's go. Usually Dad is super patient about things, but not when it comes to his being late for work. And his yelling just stressed out Via even more, and she started crying louder. So Mom told Dad to take me to school and that she'd deal with Via.